The opinions of the Mixed Babble podcast is the opinions of the hosts and the guests alone. We are not medical professionals. If you need medical advice, please speak with your doctor or a medical professional for guidance and treatment. Listener's discretion is advised. Explicit language and topics may be covered and used. Thank you. Hi guys, welcome to Mixed Babble. My name is Joni Brown. I am in the middle of the end of the world. What are you guys up to? Everything from the day-to-day bullshit, positive quotes that inspire me, books that I'm currently into, music that I'm obsessed with, or just whatever comes to mind. Let's get into it. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Mixed Babble. I'm your host, Joni Brown, and I am recording today before I actually get into the topics that I've selected for today's episode. I want to say rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. And my thoughts and prayers are with his family. I found out about it on Friday night after I had an extremely long day. I pretty much was nonstop for about 12 hours. Actually longer. I had started my day out at about 7 a.m. and I didn't get home till 10 p.m. that night. Just from running around and working and whatnot. And to come home after such a hectic day to that news was like the cherry on top of a shitty day. And it just really put it into perspective for me that no matter what you have going on in your life, there's always someone that has something going on that's worse. Now, that does not negate what you're going through yourself. And it doesn't take away from your struggles and whatnot. But I remember I saw a long time ago a quote that said, if everyone threw their problems in a hat, you would quickly take yours back when you see what everyone else is dealing with. And the fact that Chadwick was dealing with colon cancer and chemotherapy and all that silently, it came as a shock. It came out of nowhere for most of the world, because he was so young. He was 43 years old, and it's a great loss. It is a great loss, and it breaks my heart for everyone that whether loved him professionally or personally. So I wanted to make sure to start this episode out with that tribute to him. I hope he has found peace, and I know he was a man of faith, so I hope heaven is everything that he hoped it would be. But when that happened Friday, it was, as I said, that cherry on top of a fucking crazy year. The pandemic, you know, I was saying to my husband, we've been kind of going day to day, just in and out, with just like as much of a routine as we can have. And the days just run together is what I'm trying to say. But when you actually take a beat and you look back on the year, you're like, what have we actually really accomplished? You know, we typically try to travel a little bit more, so we haven't really been doing that. Being positive and hoping that next year or by the end of this year, things start to really make a change and turn. But I mean, I'm also trying to be realistic, but I don't know. I just, this weekend has been tough. I'll say that. I'm sure it contributed to me having a really bad headache yesterday. I was supposed to record yesterday and I just couldn't do it because I wasn't feeling well. I was actually in bed for most of the day yesterday. I think I only got out of bed to make dinner and then I got back in bed. So it's just been one of those weekends. And I know a lot of people are feeling down right now because we've lost a lot of good people this year and things just seem very shitty. All while dealing with a pandemic and, you know, schools starting back for families that have children. So everyone's dealing with their own thing. And I hope everyone is paying attention to their mental health and keeping that in check and speaking to someone and getting therapy. The reason why I'm kind of harping on this is because I know my husband recently started feeling more down than usual. And I hope he's fine with me mentioning that because of everything that's been going on. I know a lot of Black people specifically are really going through it with the police brutality and just the crazy level of openly racist incidences that have been happening even more so now than ever in my lifetime, let's say, because obviously not ever. We know at one point slavery was around. So that's not a true statement that it's ever, but in my lifetime that I've had to really see and watch and experience. So anyway, it's been a lot and it just keeps happening and we don't really see a means to an end. And I know it can feel hopeless. And so he's kind of, you know, been struggling with that a little bit to the point where we're both talking about we needing, us both each needing to go and get some therapy. Him with handling all the negativity and whatnot in the news and the world, and me just, you know, checking in with the therapist, because I'm sure I'm bottling up some shit that I don't even realize that I am. I'm sure I am. We all do it. We kind of compartmentalize and push things down. So I'm sure in my own way, I'm probably dealing with the fertility stuff and I don't even really realize it. Cause you know, as I said, I can seem like I'm stronger when it comes to that. And I feel like I'm okay, but I do have things that trigger me sometimes. So I know I'm not 100% good. So anyway, that's enough of that. But yeah, check in with someone, speak to a therapist if you're able to. I know some jobs do have some kind of program a lot of the time, government jobs and things like that. So if you are listening and you have a job that has that resource, please take advantage of it. I think some hospitals do that as well. If you're in the healthcare field, I do think that they do have some sort of program for that. Typically, it's like 6 sessions per topic. But I would definitely speak with your human resources person and see if that's something that you have available to you, even if it's at a discount. But it's really important, especially right now, because I consider myself strong. I consider my husband really strong. And we're dealing with that as well. So I can only imagine others, what they're dealing with. So anyway, this past week, just an update, I did go back to the doctor. And I think I mentioned that I was going to need to do another procedure because when I did the dye test, it showed that there was some kind of bubble or polyp or whatever. So we had to get that checked. And I went back on Thursday and they've advised that everything looks good. I actually learned that I have a uterus that is tilted backwards. And I've heard about, you know, tilted uteruses before. I don't know exactly what that means in reference to tilted forwards versus tilted backwards. I know that there's something about it makes it harder for you to conceive when it's tilted, but we've been pregnant 3 times, so I'm not too concerned about that. And I don't know if it's one way that it makes it harder, like if it's tilted forwards, it makes it harder, or backwards. I don't know. Like I said, we've had no issues getting pregnant, and I hope that continues to be that way for us. But yeah, that was something new that I learned. So that was interesting. But come next month, mid-September, I have an appointment with my fertility specialist, and we are coming up with a treatment plan and game plan for how we're going to move forward. So we're getting there slowly but surely. The only issue with that is they've found no issues other than the fact that I am immune, or not immune, rather. I'm not immune to measles. So that's different. And I've probably had that shot 3 or 4 times. So my body just will not accept the measles immunization for some reason. So, yeah, super weird. Didn't even know that was a thing, that you can like reject immunizations, but apparently I'm one of those anomalies. So that's where we're at with that. So mid-September, we will have a game plan as to how we're going to proceed. But yeah, I don't even know what they're going to say, because at this point, everything seems to be in order. So that's weird. Didn't really find much as to an issue. So I don't really understand, but that's why they're the doctors. So we'll see what they have to say. Update on the health tip with regards to working out. I did work out this week. I went for a couple walks outside, and I even used the treadmill on one of the days and lifted some weights. And so, yeah, I'm getting back into the mode, still reading my books, still listening to my audiobooks, and slowly but surely, I am doing what I'm supposed to do. I plan to do a little bit more this week and see where that goes. I finally bit the bullet and decided to weigh myself. So now I know my starting point. I also purchased a caliper. I know it's called a caliper, but I don't know if it's called like a caliper, fat caliper or what. But it's the little thing that pinches the fat to tell you how much fat you have. That's what I bought. I bought that on Amazon. It was like $10. So I bought that so that I could see where I am, because I right now at this phase is I'm more concerned with fat loss than the weight on the scale. I know they will eventually level out and correlate, but my focus right now is to make sure that I'm actually losing fat and not muscle, or whatever is supposed to be muscle under there. But anyway, that's all I got for the weekly catch up and recap. So today we can get to the topic at hand. Today I am planning to discuss green flags and things to look for in a relationship. So I've had some bad relationships in the past, and when I say bad, I mean that I've had some infidelities and whatnot in past relationships. Most of my relationships were in high school. They weren't great. And then I went on to get married. A lot of you may or may not know that I've been married before. So my relationship with Nate is actually my second marriage. And so the first one didn't work out. I'll cover that on a different episode, because I plan to read my blog entry on that. And I think it's titled Marriage for Dummies, if you want to go ahead and go to the unicornbabble.com website for my blog. You can read all about that if you want to skip ahead and see what I'm talking about. It's a little crazy. But again, when I read that, I'll provide some context as to what was going on at that time. But my marriage with Nate is my second marriage. And things that I've learned along the way. And I did get married young. I got married when I was 20. And again, I'm turning 24. No, I'm not. I wish. I am turning 34 next month. So, I was very young at that time that I got married, and it didn't end well because he cheated with a coworker. Yes, I'll just be super transparent here. He did cheat. And so I've learned what to look for, you know, moving forward. And that's how Nate and I actually ended up together. So green flags and just things that make for a healthy relationship. Now, I'm not saying that Nate and I have no problems. We, just like anyone else, have issues. But some of the things that were important to me in this relationship, he encompassed. So for example, one of the things I have here is decisiveness. It wasn't my ex-husband, but just a boyfriend that I had prior to Nate, obviously, not after Nate. A boyfriend I had, he was not decisive. So anytime we needed to make a decision on anything, it was always a huge to-do. And it was like pulling teeth. But when Nate and I got together as, I don't want to say as friends. We were already friends, but and we hadn't yet decided to be a couple. So it was in that kind of wooing period before we made it official. I remember vividly we were in the car and we were going somewhere, not exactly sure where we were going, running errands, whatever it was. And I remember him talking to me, and we were talking about an amusement park that was, you know, fairly close to where we live. And I remember being like, oh, I haven't been there in so long. Just casual conversation. And in the middle of me like speaking, not even really, I wasn't really hyper focused on what he was doing other because he was the one that was driving. I just remember we got to the stoplight and he pulled out his cell phone. And at this time, Nate was super busy. He was working a job for a portion of the day. I would say it was like 2 to 7 is what the job that he was working. And mind you, at this time we were young and so we weren't making like great money. So he was working that job and then he was doing odd jobs like DJing and also what was it that he was doing? Basketball. I think he was reffing and coaching basketball on the weekends. So he was super busy doing miscellaneous things all while being in school. We were in college at the time, both of us. And I just remember him whipping out his phone without even a thought and was like, hey, what are you doing in 3 weeks on so-and-so day? And coming from a relationship where the person was extremely indecisive, I was like, oh, okay, like, this is what we're doing? Like, you just go pick a day and ask me what I'm doing? I didn't say that to him, obviously. This is all in my head. But I remember being like, oh, okay, like, that's extremely attractive to me. Like, he took charge in a, you know, obviously, I'm not talking about taking charge in a aggressive way. Like, he wasn't aggressive about it, but he knew what he wanted, and he didn't overthink it. And so I thought that was really attractive to me. So one of the biggest things for me is decisiveness, knowing what you want and going for it in a respectful way. So yeah, I thought that was really cool. He did that a couple other times as well. So it wasn't like an isolated incident. I had said I had never been to this restaurant before, and this wasn't me dropping hints. Like, we were talking about it, and he was like, oh yeah, you know, I've been there once, and what are you doing on this day? I got to take you there. And that's what we did. We actually ended up going there for our first Valentine's Day, ironically, but him knowing what he wanted really was a green flag to me. You know, people always talk about, you know, Sierra and Russell Wilson and what prayer did she say and all that. And if you believe in prayer and the universe and God and all that, then by all means, yes, pray. 'Cause I prayed. I knew what I didn't want, and I asked God to bring that into my life. And again, prayer without works is dead. Like, yes, Nate was in my life, but it was up to me to make it work. So one thing that I want to say, I had a friend that she was struggling in relationships, and she was dating this guy that she had met, I don't know if it was through a dating app or whatnot. Actually, it doesn't fucking matter where you meet them. The fact of the matter is, like, once they're in front of you, it's what you do with that. So she was dating this guy, and he kept making excuses as to why they couldn't hang out, because he started saying, like, I'm too busy, I have to work out. Like, okay, first of all, the fact that he used working out as an excuse to not make time for you, that just, it blows my mind. But it's also, it's kind of funny, because I'm like, really, that's what you came up with? I mean, I would have respected you more if you said you had community service or some shit. Like, you ain't working out all day. But anyway, so he'd make excuses. He's too busy because he got this, this, and that going on. And one of the biggest things I want to say, people make time for the things that are important to them. I, at one point, was in school full time. I was working full time. And I still made time to spend quality time with Nate, as did he. I told you he was reffing on the weekends. He was working Monday through Friday, and then he was also DJing, and he still found the time to make time for me. At one point, unhealthily, really, because I was a night owl, and I used to not get off of work at my collections job that I worked with Ben. So yeah, I was getting off of work pretty late, like 11 p.m. and he had to be up in the morning to do whatever it was that he was doing. And he would stay up with me because I was a night owl, because I didn't have to go to work till 3. I got off at 11 p.m., 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. And so I was up and wide awake. And that's typically when I would do my schoolwork. So he would stay up with me till in the morning hours, and then had to be up at like 7 a.m. the next day. And we were up all night just talking, because we were both in school, so we would be doing our schoolwork and talking. So he made time for me. It wasn't ideal. He actually told me, he's like, it got to the point where he was living on Red Bull and what was it, the 7-Eleven Slurpees with the caffeine in it. And Whiteout, oh my God, the Mountain Dew Whiteout, which is really crazy. I don't recommend it. Like, it tastes good, but oh my God, I don't even know if they make it anymore. But he was living on that shit, and 5-Hour Energy. Like, he doesn't even, he's actually pretty sensitive to caffeine. So the fact that he was doing that makes me concerned for his heart health. But he did it because that's what he knew he needed to do if he wanted to spend time with me. So people prioritize the things that are important to them. And that's really, really important to remember. Another point that I want to make is, not just men, this is not just men, but people in relationships need to learn to be vulnerable. And I know vulnerability can come off as quote unquote weak, or not masculine, or whatever. You got to put all that shit aside. When you're in a relationship, your pride and your ego has to go out of the window, or it's just not going to work. I was pretty prideful in the beginning of my relationship, and I'm sure I still have some level of that, because it's one of those things you constantly have to work on. I remember at one point, in the beginning, I was like, I'm not apologizing first. You got to put all that shit out the door, because if you win, that means your partner's losing. And I hope you heard what I just said. If you are in a relationship to try to win, that means that somebody in that relationship is losing. And if they're losing, you're both losing. So you got to keep that in mind. this is not like I'm pretty competitive. Like we have this weird like competitive nature between us, but not when it comes to arguments. Like we cannot be in this relationship trying to win. It just doesn't work. So you have to make sure that you are learning how to be vulnerable with that person. I just do want to add that you need to be mindful of who you're being vulnerable with. That's even more important than everything I've said. Not everyone deserves your vulnerability, and you need to trust who you're sharing that with, that your authentic self can be safe with them. There are some people out there that will use, you know, your truth and your trust and your vulnerability against you. So you have to be able to identify who is safe with that information. But we will be right back after this break. Welcome back, guys. We are talking vulnerability and getting a relationship to work and all the green flags. And I guess we're throwing in there some red flags as well. So in a past relationship, affection was like a huge issue. It was actually the marriage I was referencing. They weren't affectionate. We just weren't on the same wavelength when it came to a lot of things. So one of the other points that I want to make is that compatibility factor, not forcing it when it's obvious that it doesn't work. So there was a time where, you know, I tried to do the let's be patient and see if they change, but you can't change someone that's just how they are. So it took me a very long time to learn that once someone is set in their ways, like, yes, people can change, but first of all, they have to want to change, not just change for you because you're telling them to. But for me, my thing is when it comes to soulmates, like I go back and forth on whether or not I believe soulmates are real. And one thing that I always say is, in my theory, I do believe that there are people that are out there in the world that are more compatible with you than others. And when it comes to soulmates, a person that was a soulmate to you, say you met them in high school and you were 15 years old, they may be perfect for you at that time, which essentially was what kind of happened with my ex. Is we were together while I was in high school, and we weren't perfect then, which should have been a red flag, but at the time that may have worked for me. As time went on and I got older and I matured, that compatibility was no longer there because, you know, they were still kind of immature in their thinking and didn't really have any goals or aspirations in life. And so I was hoping to move on and go to school. And when I say move on, I was hoping to move on career-wise, go to school, have a career. And they were content with whatever it was that they were doing at the time. I think they were working retail, which, you know, that works for some people, but it wasn't in line with where I was hoping to be heading. And I'm not talking about leaving people behind. That's not the point I'm making here. The issue is when it comes to soulmates, that person might be perfect for you at that time, but you have to grow with each other as you enter in other phases of your life. So they worked when I was 15. They worked when I was 18. But as I progressed in life and wanting to get further education and go into a career, they were still with the high school mind frame. Like they had no plans on further in their education or wanting to have a career. They were okay with the day-to-day struggles, and that was it for them. I mean, the fact that they even had health insurance, I'm sure made them feel like they were an adult, and that was sufficient. So that relationship didn't grow as I got older. And I look back on a lot of my relationships, and it's funny because, you know, where I am now in my career, I don't think that they would have fit in with that. You know, my husband, he runs an organization and he is mature in his thinking and he manages other people. And that is what I do as well. And that just works for us. We've both gone on to get our education after high school. And, you know, and I'm not saying that that is for everyone. That I'm talking about me specifically. That compatibility wasn't there when it came to that. And so then throw in the fact that he wasn't affectionate. And then, of course, he was cheating. So it was the perfect storm. But anyway, I digress. So you have to have compatibility and you can't force it. You have to recognize when it's not working. And I don't know, you know, if whoever's listening to this even wants kids. You might already be in a relationship and you don't even give a fuck about what I'm talking about anyway. But for the people out there that are single, and I'm no relationship guru, I'm just speaking from experience. I've had some bad relationships. And the reason I even got on this topic really is because I was listening to a podcast recently. And on the podcast, I heard the girl say that love is supposed to be easy. And if it's not easy, then it's whatever. It's not right. You know, you got to move on and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to tell you this. Mind you, as a sidebar here, she was and is single. And I'm not saying that single people can't have input and good input. Because at one point I was single and I could have given you advice then too. However, love is not easy. And if anyone tells you that, they're fucking lying. Love is not easy. It doesn't need to be hard to the point where you're fighting against it all the time to make it work, or fighting for it, rather. But like you do need to fight for it. If it's worth having, it's worth fighting for, right? And again, everything is prefaced with the fact that it needs to be healthy, non-abusive, all of that. So I'm talking about a quote-unquote normal scenario. I'm not talking about the outliers that are not typical. I'm talking about the regular, degular relationships. Nothing outside of the whatever the normal is. So yeah, so she was saying how love is supposed to be easy and whatnot. And I'm like, girl, no, it's not. And to tell people that it is bullshit. Just for the fact that when it gets hard for that person, they're going to be like, well, she said love is supposed to be easy and this is hard. So, you know, obviously it's not working. Nate and I have had issues in the past. Off the top of my head, I can't really think of what they are. I know there was one time where And actually, this brings me to my next topic. Here we go. So my next topic is moving from the friend zone. I mentioned that Nate used to be a friend and he's still my friend, but you get what I'm saying. We were friends for 10 years before we even got together. And making that transition was difficult because one, I had to make the decision on if it was worth risking our friendship. We had already established 10 years of friendship. I met him in high school in 9th grade. And we went on to have other relationships and our paths crossed 10 years later. And we had kept in contact for a bit after high school, but it was completely platonic. And then we didn't really speak much after I had gotten married. And I was only married for like a year and a half. So Nate came back into the picture after about a year and a half after I had split from my ex and had actually been gone on and had other relationships in between that time of my divorce or my separation and Nate. So I had a period. I didn't go from my ex-husband to him. I had a period where I was dating and, you know, doing my thing. And then we crossed paths and rekindled or kindled, because there was no rekindled. We kindled into each other's lives again at that point. So the point I'm making here is Nate was a friend. And when he finally spoke up and said that he was interested in having more of a relationship with me, I was like, yeah, like it was weird. And we will get more into it. I don't want to give too much away to the history of our origin story on this episode, but you might hear a lot of what I'm saying right now again when I actually have him on and we talk about it. And I know I've said it a couple times that we were going to talk about it, but it is such a story to tackle that it needs its own time. But again, you know, we were friends and I had to make the decision that if it was worth pursuing that and potentially losing out on a good friend, he was 100% all in and had no reservation about it. And he actually had to convince me in some respect that it was worth taking that risk. And I'm glad he did. I actually remember being on the phone with a friend of mine back then and being like, oh my God, like, I think Nate likes me like that. He wants a relationship. And she kind of had to convince me a little bit. She was just like, you know, some of the best relationships come from friendships and da da da. And I remember being like, yeah, you're right. And then after doing some more thinking, then I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a try. But that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is the line started to get blurred between the friend and the boyfriend, because Nate would do shit that would irritate the fuck out of me once in a while. And I got to the point where I was like, you know, he's supposed to know that I don't like that because, you know, we've been friends for so long and da da da. And being in a friendship and being in a relationship, yes, they have similarities of like that foundation, but they are vastly different. And I remembered having to have that internal dialogue with myself, like, okay, you can't, that's unfair. That's unfair to him, because you can't expect him to know you in a relationship when he's never been in a relationship with you before. So, and not to mention with relationships, you bring on bad habits and all that bullshit. So of course, you know, I'm different than anybody he's dated in the past. I'm fucking different. I'm outspoken. I'm all of the things that most of the people that he's dated in the past were not. And that's nothing against them in any way, because everyone is different. I'm different than most people. I'm different. And I'm not even saying that in a positive way. I'm a little crazy. So anyway. Yeah, so it was hard to make that transition in that respect, where I'm like, he should know. And so we would have disagreements because I was like, why would you do that? You should know I wouldn't have liked that. And that's not fair. So if you ever do make it out of the friend zone, anybody that's listening to this, you got to make sure that you are able to differentiate between the two, because it is a gray area of that transition. So anyway, another thing that is super important, and I think this one is expected to be discussed, is compromise. So most of these are all big ones. You'll hear me say, like, this is a big one. They are all big ones. So you got to write them down. You got to work on them. It's ongoing. So when two lives come together, you have to learn to compromise. You know, Nate, for example, when we have disagreements, likes his space. He wants me to leave him alone. He wants to be with his thoughts. He wants to go for a run or play his video games or whatever it is that he wants to do. and he just wants to be left alone. I am not like that. I'm like, no, we need to talk about it now. I don't want to go to bed mad. We don't need to sit on this. We need to work it out so I can, like, you know, go on with my day and not have to worry about it and think about it. And we're complete opposites in that way. So one of the things that I implemented that we probably still need to work on, and Nate, if you're listening to this, it's something that we need to make sure that we continue to try to do. The compromise that I came across, this is not my idea, so I won't take credit for it, but it's something that I came across and I told him I wanted to implement, is because we're so vastly different in the way we handle situations of disagreement, we have to come to an agreement that there needs to be a time frame. And if you want to be left alone, I'll leave you alone for an hour. So for an hour, you get to go do whatever it is you need to do to clear your mind and cool down, and then we can reconvene. But that satisfies him to know that I will leave him alone. And if it's an hour or 2 hours or 6 hours or whatever, like, I'm going to leave you alone. You guys, whoever's listening, set your own time frame that works for you. If you find yourself in a situation like this, set your time frame and honor that. Leave them alone for that amount of time. Or if you're the person that is this way, have them leave you alone for that amount of time. But you have to put a time frame on it. If you don't, that's going to create a whole bunch of other issues, because it's literally going to be like Stewie on Family Guy, like, mom, is it time? Can we talk now? What are you doing? So, so you have to put a time frame on it. Otherwise, it's just going to fester and they're going to get pissed. And in that time, they get to come up with what they want to discuss with you. And maybe hopefully they've cooled down during that time as well. So that is one of the examples of how we compromise, because we are so different. Nate, I always joke, is the nice one. He's very level-headed, calm, cool, collected. And sometimes I am the opposite of all of those things. So we know that we have to approach each other differently, and we have to respect our differences and personality traits and work through it. So I know I have to give him a space. In the beginning, you know, we would argue about how we argue because of that. So you have to find what each other's love language is as well. And if you have never heard that terminology, there is actually a book called The Five Love Languages. I am not going to go through all the love languages, but you can look that up. It's been written and rewritten and then, you know, specified to certain things. I think they have like ones for teens now, or in single people and families. They've branched off into a whole bunch of different kinds of series of that book, but highly, highly recommend. I haven't quite honed in on my love languages yet, just for the fact that I got the book, started reading it, stopped reading it, and I don't think I actually like really dived into the different love languages. But once you identify that, it will help, because, you know, for me, I know that I think acts of service is one of them. And I know that, you know, I appreciate that. I don't know if it's like my ultimate love language. I think in some essence, a lot of people have multiple love languages, but some of them are like their top and their secondary. And then the rest are just kind of like, oh, they're, you know, they're cool, but whatever. So, identifying your love languages and speaking that to the person. Because the thing with the love languages, and just to, I guess, give a better overview, like, say, for example, you have a partner that doesn't care about material things, but for whatever reason, you're like, oh, you know, I want to do something nice for them today, so I'm going to get them a bouquet of roses delivered to their job. And then I'm going to buy them jewelry as a gift and a purse and a this and a that. And then when they receive it, you don't get the reaction that you want. And so now you're pissed because you're like, I did this nice thing. I thought it was thoughtful and they didn't even give a fuck. They were very dismissive. I didn't get the reaction I wanted. That is an example of a love language not being identified, because what if that's your love language? You're like, I love receiving things, so why wouldn't they? I love when they buy me stuff, so I'm going to do that for them. That's your love language. You like to receive gifts. And I think, I don't remember what that is, that receiving gifts. I think it's literally called that as one of the love languages. I probably should have planned out the sections on that better. But yeah, so you're doing the thing that you like and they're not being responsive to it. And now you're upset because you're not getting the reaction that you want. So that's why it's important to identify love languages. And the issue is a lot of people love people the way they want to be loved, and then it doesn't work because you're doing what you like rather than what they actually like. So what if you like material things, but they like when you spend quality time? That's another love language, quality time. What if they don't want things, they want actions, they want, you know, you to rub their feet, they want you to walk with them on the beach, they want you to, you know, do something that is play video games with them. That's their love language. And once you identify that, your relationship typically improves, unless you have some other weird underlying issues that go far beyond, you know, a self-help book and you need to go to therapy or whatever. I found that helps. I know for Nate, I don't know if it's exactly one of his love languages, but whenever he does something, I'm sure to thank him for it. Thank you for, you know, walking Chloe this morning, or thank you for taking the trash out. And, you know, just identifying that they've done something and that you appreciate it. It doesn't take more than a minute to say thank you for something. I know it's something that he's supposed to do, but I still want him to know that I appreciate that he did it. Thank you for cooking dinner. Thank you for washing the dishes. And, you know, I hate to say it like this because it sounds weird, but most people respond well to positive reinforcement. I see what you're doing and I appreciate that you did it. And I recognize that you're being helpful to me. And so I think he appreciates that because he typically says, you know, thank you for saying that. So that's what works for us. And again, that the love languages book, I can't remember who wrote it, but you can find it pretty much anywhere. It's been out for a couple decades, I want to say. It was probably written in like the 90s or something like that, and has since been rewritten quite a few times. So yes, that is one of my recommendations to you. And I'm not going to recommend a book every time. It just so happens that I listen to a lot of self-help and all that. So I typically have something in the back of my mind that I love and want to recommend. So yeah, so learn the love language and hopefully that helps you. But anyway, guys, I know this one's a little bit longer than it typically is for me by myself. So I, you know, do plan to have Nate on here to give you guys a little bit more of the origin story. I think I've said this like 3 times now, and I told him that we have to do that episode soon because I've said it a couple times and we just got to dive in and talk about it. So until then, you can follow me on Mixed Babble. That is the Instagram that is associated with the podcast. You can email advice, questions, whatnot, or ask for advice to mixedbabblepodcast@gmail.com. And you can also follow me on my personal Instagram @blonde_blasian. That's blonde_blasian. I appreciate you guys coming back this week, and I hope you're having a wonderful week and keeping your mental health in check. We are still making sure to wear our masks and do all the things so we can get out of this pandemic and hopefully get back to some remnants of normalcy. So until next time, wear your masks as always, and don't be an asshole. Bye.
Thank you.